All right, let's get a little bit of this book here. Straight Talk, No Chaser.
Okay.
We got chapter 9.
I will say I've never read a Steve Harvey book, but everything I hear of Steve Harvey's advice, I agree with.
Listen.
There's never been, like, I don't know all of his.
They're making money.
I don't know all of his advice, mm-hmm. but I know that the things I've heard, I go, Stevie's got a point.
Well, that's why I like having a guy on the show.
Yeah.
I have a book that's for women.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically, sometimes I'll read stuff and I'll go, oh, it annoys me. But that's why it's like, I need you, it's producer so Mike, over here.
Crazy.
To just look at me and go, no, he's right.
Yeah.
That's 1,000% right.
It's just from Steve Harvey. And you're like, how did this happen? Yeah.
Steve Harvey has lived.
No, but Steve Harvey was like, you know, act like a woman, think like a man. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in that that, like, I'm saying in different ways. Like, most dating mm-hmm. talk is just, are you making it more or less edible for people? And if it's done right.
Oh,
I think, like, when you get into the rules stuff, I kind of get into this, like, eye roll. Like, you're really trying to, like, you know, find new, you're trying to get likes. Mm-hmm. And I don't really buy it.
I don't either. I never give hard rules.
Yeah, and it's like,
because every person that has rules, those dating people, I've listened to their podcasts and stuff, all of them have made exceptions to their own fucking rules. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Erica Spira, and this week, I've got a great guest for you guys. The Patreon has voted him back on the show, and I'm not surprised. We got Jared Fried for you, everybody, and we are going over some of Steve Harvey's advice, specifically about nagging, and why nagging doesn't work, and how you should ask for what you want. Always love having Jared on. We have a great time. I'm very excited for you guys to get to this episode. Before we do, there's a few things you can do to help us out, okay? If you're enjoying the show, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or here's something else you could do for free. We have a YouTube channel now. You could go subscribe to our YouTube channel. And what I'm doing with the YouTube channel is those are full unedited episodes, okay? The audio versions, I kind of tighten up. I keep a little short, right? The YouTube, it's got the whole thing, okay? So go subscribe to us on YouTube. I believe it's /ShootersGottaShootPod, but just look up Shooters Gotta Shoot on YouTube, or the link is in the comments of this description. Just go there, click subscribe, helps us out, and also go look up Jared's YouTube channel. All right, he's got a great special on there. If you think he's funny, even join him on this podcast. Check out his stand-up. Go see him when he's traveling to your town. JaredFried.com is his website. If you want to get the behind the scenes, especially of last week, where I got a little too personal on the public show with the more of a Patreon style episode, you can join the Patreon to find out the behind the scenes of what events happened that made me bring up that topic with Lev, and other behind the scenes, obviously, personal stories on patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. And the end of this episode, we will have a Patreon preview for you. All right. So you get a little taste. You like what you see, come join the Patreon. It's $5 a month. It's like if you bought me a coffee every month. And I appreciate it because we're using a studio now. We're putting money into the pod. Appreciate you guys helping out with that. So without further ado, I'm going to get to our guest, Jared Fried. Enjoy. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. All right, this guest coming to the show, you might have seen him on The Tonight Show. You might have seen his YouTube special, or you might listen to his podcast, You Up Pod, or the J Train podcast. Everybody, you know him, you love him, repeat of the show, Jared Fried. Woo, 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 woo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Sorry for coming in too early.
All right.
When you hear your name, you usually go, that's the point.
I know.
To come, I don't know, but this is your show.
It's hard. I don't like making people sit through a long intro.
I make people sit. I'm like, you're going to listen to me push this fucking show.
Yeah,
you know, I got to make sure people know that they got to share, rate, review, subscribe, send it to the group chat. That's the thing. This is a free, if they do nothing, it's free. So
exactly.
This is to your listeners. I'm saying right now, if you haven't done those things, you're getting free joy,
mm-hmm.
free moment. to take your brain, put it on the shelf, let Erica take the wheel.
Yeah.
Like, the favor, we don't give ourselves enough credit for the favor we do for people.
No.
For the possibility that they'll use a promo code. Like, we're not even forcing it.
Mm-mm.
It's a, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I just hope the listeners know that you've made an investment in them. You're trusting that they'll share.
Oh, yeah, we're in a studio now. Look at us.
You're in a studio.
Look at us.
There's 17,000 cameras. There's a picture of, you know, comedians on the wall. Yeah. It's there's a whole thing here. There's investment. This is America.
It is an investment.
Yeah. So. I just don't like when people don't, you know, I make sure people know. Acknowledge that, like, hey, you're getting something.
Yeah, they are. You're getting something. You're getting Jared Fried this week, so you really can't complain.
Big time.
Repeat guest of the show.
I've been on. I love it.
One of our faves to have.
Yeah.
As you've been on before, I feel like we've done this with you before, we have a man's opinion segment.
Mm-hmm.
Start off with a question that we actually want man's opinion on.
Let's do it.
So, first question, I surveyed the fans. You're going on a beach trip with someone you're dating's family.
Mm.
Should you wear a one-piece or two-piece?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Not at all?
I mean, it's got to be an appropriate two-piece.
I feel like both need to be appropriate, right?
I guess so. I guess there's some one-pieces that are... I mean, I guess it sounds bad me saying appropriate one-piece, appropriate two-piece. Who am I to say what's appropriate or not? You know, but what would you feel comfortable wearing in front of your own father? Your own mother? I think whatever your mother and father would be okay with, I think is okay with the next family.
True.
Because I think, like, let's start with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I go on the beach with my family. Like, my family would be like, yeah, two. They wouldn't say otherwise. If you came thong, you know, I got my dad looking at me, nudging me. I'm like, hey, shut up. You know, this could be your daughter-in-law one day. You know, like,
oh yeah.
So, and again, like, I have no women in my family. You know, so for me, it makes a huge difference.
I think it actually makes it easier.
On the girlfriend coming in, or?
Yeah, in terms of judging with clothes.
Yeah, because my parents have no, but I guess you're dealing with my mom at that point.
Yeah.
You know, like a mom. I do think, like, I remember once I tweeted something, and it was like, not to bring up old tweets of my own. But it was,
I wanna hear it.
It was, and I'm not, like, looking to, like, judge someone's look, but I mean, like, there's not, like, and the joke I made was the woman that's on Modern Family, the middle daughter.
Yeah, the nerd one.
She was the nerd one.
The glasses.
But, and then she got, like, I think she divorced her parents at some point. Like, but she would go to, like, red carpets and wear very, like, what's the right word?
Revealing
clothing.
Like, more so than the show.
More so.
The show, she's a button-up nerd.
Totally.
And the older sister's the hot, quote-unquote, shows her body, uses her body.
Exactly.
She uses her brains, other sister uses her body.
And
it's
so,
basic American television.
Totally. And and the photo kind of went a little bit viral of, like, her on the red carpet, because it was surprising.
It is.
So I made, like, a meme of, like, the, you know, when you're a college freshman and you go home and dressing the way you want for your family for the first, you know, Easter or Passover.
Yeah.
Because I remember coming home, and I'm saying that's more about me than any male, female thing. Yeah. I remember coming home, my mom would be like, what happened to you? Uh-huh. You know, like, what are you wearing? Like, and you, because you're living alone and you have no one hovering over you, you know, you forget what a mom's glare looks like.
Well, yeah, even more so. You know what I did? A lot of my friends did was, like, I finally had summer jobs, saved up money, went to college, got my own debit card that I could also use as a credit card online.
Okay.
And it's before online shopping's huge, but I went to school. There's no mall near it.
Mm.
I was ordering clothes on Forever 21.
Sure.
My mom was not seeing.
Yes.
Or my dad.
And they're not, like, checking it off, being like, oh, that looks nice. Oh, okay. What would you wear that to?
Yeah.
There's just you in your head going, I'm a supermodel.
Yeah.
And I used to go home, and my parents were like, what is this? What are you wearing? What are you doing? So I related to Alexis Winter, I think her name is, being on the red carpet, being in something that, in her mind, was like, this is what you wear, you know? And it's like you've gotten divorced from your parents. Like, there's no one going, now. So I would say for the bathing suit, this is all related to the bathing suit thing. I would say, like, because I'm going to be, I think most men are just oblivious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't. No, unless you're, like, literally, like, wearing something, like, crazy. You know, you went topless to our family beach party. But I would say I trust whoever I'm with to be, you know, to kind of do the parent thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing of why I said One Piece, it's like the loophole now is a lot of things are very, basically almost a thong. It's not a full
thong.
The
One Piece is so fucking hot.
I think One Pieces are hot. I think
so
they're also
hot.
Easier to look good in, personally. I feel more confident in one than a two-piece.
Well, confidence is key. That's number one. And also the way it cuts a woman is just very womanly.
A lot of times
it makes
your legs look longer, actually.
Yeah, because it has that high hip.
Well, I'm saying that's what's super in now. Yeah. This hijacking, which in the back kind of has, it's almost a thong. The cheekiness.
I think I'd be cool. So I mean, let me just say it's hot. I think I wrote a thing about how like the one piece is king. You know, the
maybe.
Two piece.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it all, but I'm saying that the one piece, it can be just as fun as the two piece.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny. We did a man's opinion once of just you're meeting someone's family. Should you dress more sexy or sophisticated? Mm. And both men were like, I mean, can she just meet my dad? And then they say sexy. Just meeting the mom, they say sophisticated.
It's interesting. And it's weird. I mean, sons with moms, you know, with your brother and mom probably, it's just like this weird relationship where they're like, they care for you in a way that they care for the husband they met at that age.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's this like weird, you know, I'm always like, go for the mom.
Yeah.
With every dress for the mom.
Mom's harder to win over.
Because it's the mom. Because the dad does a lot of, you know, like the dad has no opinion in this matter. Mm-hmm. Very rarely is dad like, I don't know about this one. You know, like it's always the mom.
Yeah, it always comes from the mom, typically.
Always. I mean, it's always just the mom being like, you know, and it's like very much like a... Again, because I have a brother and my dad, and then it's my mom. Like, we only know from her, you know? So, and then, like, someone's entering into this habitat where she's been on a planet of men with no other women for 37 years. And they're like, and you can see kind of like, we're like, wow, this is a different dynamic than we've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, dads go, whatever, you know, like, and brothers go, whatever, you know, like, and everyone, you know, lets the mama bear.
Oh, for sure.
Get in charge.
I've had actually a kind of an opposite situation with my brother. I was dating this girl, pretty great body.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, what is she wearing? Like, wouldn't show off anything. Like, we almost were like, she dresses like
a mom. How long were they together?
3 years.
Even three?
Yeah, like it was this thing, it was like, oh, that's just her style. And we felt this opposite thing that we were almost like, we want to like take her shopping and kind of be like, yo, you know you could be
sex
like hotter.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, you know, your brother's,
mean to say,
but maybe your
true.
Brother was dating, looking to date your mom.
know,
that's even more fucked up.
By any means.
Okay.
But it's like, entering a family dynamic is always interesting. Of like, my family's
it's the hardest
like,
thing in the world.
Like, well, Christmas Day, it's like, we are in pajamas the whole day. We eat dinner at home. Like, Christmas Eve was when we dress up. But even that, pajamas during the day.
Yeah.
Do the change, the church, later. But, like, some families, it's like, you come downstairs, it's like, oh, everyone's in jeans.
I wouldn't feel comfortable. I mean, there's a scene in Meet the Parents where Greg Focker comes down, and everyone's already eating breakfast, and he's in his PJs.
Yeah.
And I always say, if I was Greg, I'd end that relationship right there.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you didn't warn me. You didn't tell me this is a jeans house. You didn't tell me this was a wake-up-early house. Like, there's a responsibility on the person bringing you home to kind of prep you.
Oh, the waking, especially if you have a house that doesn't do sharing beds.
You got to know.
Like, I would 1,000% be like, you need to come wake me up before you go downstairs.
I need everything.
Yeah.
I need a whole itinerary of how this house works without, you know, say, people knowing that I need an itinerary of how it works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would agree. 1,000%. Our episode today, we're going to get into a chapter from Steve Harvey, not Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, different book, Straight Talk, No Chaser. It's a chapter on nagging.
Mm.
So I have to ask you up top, what do you feel like is the most annoying thing you get nagged about in a relationship?
I guess what I've been kind of repeatedly told I was doing wrong was not making plans to make the person feel like there was an actual effort to
interesting.
To keep the fire going. Like, I kind of like, you know, especially with comedy, and that's kind of an excuse, but it's like with what we do, you know, you just go from thing to thing to thing, and I got this booked and that booked and this booked, and I'm going away that weekend, I'm going away, and you know, and then they kind of go, well, wait a minute, when am I fitting in here?
Yeah.
And that becomes a thing. And I hate to call it nagging because it's like, they are right.
Yeah.
You know, where you go, you need to be taken into account of my life, you know, but you, When you're told, I've also had like that I'm not thinking of them specifically involved in the plan. Like I had an afterthought. Yeah, a little bit of an afterthought.
Like, come to this trip with me. But the trip was originally comedy. It was originally work. And I added you to work.
Well, I had one specific thing where it was like, whenever we go away, if I had a friend that was in the town, I'd be like, come meet us. Mm. And it was like, this isn't our trip. And I'd be like, but this is, what else are we going to do? Look at each other? You know, like you go,
you're like,
they're in town.
In Kansas or wherever you are.
Wherever we are. So I think that goes into the subject heading of like afterthought, if you're not thinking of us as a priority, us as a priority. And I think that's I'm saying that sounds really bad when I say it, but I've been there
where you're from the female perspective of that scenario, you're kind of like, okay, well, part of me is happy. I'm being included in the trip. Mm-hmm. He's thinking of me to go.
Sure.
That's so nice. Oh, especially like, oh, he's buying a plane ticket. It's a little like, oh, okay.
We're doing something.
A little special, right? But then at the same time, it's like, oh, we're going on this trip because you had work and a friend there. Suddenly what it feels like.
And it's almost like nobody wants to be, because you bought this, do you want this? No one wants to be the second thing. Nobody wants to be like, other people have ordered French fries with their burger. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'll bring the French fries along.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to be that. People want to be the first thing they went on Amazon for, not the second thing.
Mm. I was going to say, this is also a complaint in a relationship, but also dating.
Most
women would be their number one thing they complain about.
Of course.
It's just the lack of a plan.
There's the plan, and then there's like the feeling like this is a special night. I think that is what it comes down to, where it's like, you know, I get a lot of emails where it goes like, you know, we have a plan for Tuesday, and then Tuesday around noon, I text them, what's the deal? And then he dances around, and now I'm kind of pulling the plan out of him. And I go,
that's the worst feeling.
That's the worst feeling.
That's the worst when I have to go, so what's the plan?
I don't think anyone wants to feel that way. No. And it happens a lot with dating. And then what happens is then you tell your friends, and you go, I didn't go on the date. And they go, what happened? You go, you didn't make a plan. And they go, come on. You know, things get busy. Everyone always kind of takes that person's side for some unknown reason. When they're wrong. You said, let's go out Tuesday. It's pretty easy to get in touch Tuesday morning and go, hey, gonna do this place at this time. And, you know, to let people, you know, and so, but I've also been that guy where it's like Tuesday morning, I'm like, fuck, I gotta have a plan together. I see the clock ticking down. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I got a half hour before noon before I really have to text and be like, hey, what's going on? You know, there's what's happening. I've canceled on that day. You know, I've been that guy that's like, you know what? I got no plan. I don't want to go on this date. I need to make an excuse, and it's got to be before noon.
at least you kind of know.
Everyone knows. I do believe everyone knows.
I just hate the rule of the, there's so many dating people that have the rule. They're like, if you don't hear from this time on that day, that means you have other plans and you're busy.
I don't believe in that rule.
That's bullshit. You should reach out and go, hey, are we still on for tonight?
Yeah, it's more natural. But it's got to be more natural than that. This idea that you're waiting in a castle up in the window for someone to go, hello, come on the date with me tonight at 8. No. Like, that's not how it works. Be a human. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it actually valuing your time is when you get ahead and send the text.
Yeah.
That's someone who values their time more than I was waiting for you to fuck up. Oh, you had all day to wait for me to fuck up?
Yeah. You're playing a game with someone who doesn't know they're playing a game. And that's what drives me crazy.
Hey, what's the plan tonight? 8 a.m. I'm going on to work. I think that's a perfectly fine. You could even be positive with that. Hey, pump for tonight. Let me know what the plan is. I'll be home at this time. That's a person who values their time.
Make it easy. Be like, I'm going to be in this neighborhood after work.
Make it so easy that you know if you're turned off or not.
Especially first date.
Yeah.
It's like, we're both getting motivation to get off the couch and go.
Totally. But this whole rule of like, wait till, and if they don't make it by 2 o'clock, you're out. It's like, that is a way of outsourcing your own taste.
Yes.
And it's like, it might work once, but it's going to fuck you the rest of your life. Because then you got no taste.
Right.
You know, let's practice with the little ones that don't hurt so much. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I have like a, it's not a hard rule. It's an indirect rule at myself of like, if this scheduling bullshit being flaky happens twice, I'm kind of out.
I mean, yeah, twice. I mean, I had a woman, I do this, she called into this show, I do it on Sundays, where we, you know, people call in with their dating stories. And This is the exact scenario. She's texting with a guy. They made a date for Tuesday. And then Tuesday, she's like, what's the plan? And then he goes, and he kind of avoids it.
That's when I hate it, is when I get the pen pal suddenly. I had a guy all of a sudden chatty. I'm like, okay, yeah, let me know if you want to go out again.
Yes. Well,
and the minute I say it, dead silence.
And that's what I said to her. I go, all this chit-chat you're having with this guy after let me know the plan is stuff you should be talking about on the date.
Exactly.
There's not that much to talk about.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I understand this is all like fun and games, but I got a busy day today. Let me know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then she started saying like she like didn't go on the date and her friends came in and they, you know, it's always a friend. Oh, you know, my Brad, he never knew how to use a phone. He used to take a can attached to a string, yeah, and you know, I had to teach him how to do it. And it's like, no, Brad was a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he didn't care.
That she put up with.
Yeah, for sure.
And it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it worked out doesn't mean that's how it should be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've ranted.
Ugh. I've like, I don't want to say put a foot down, but I can't think of a better phrase. If I had someone being kind of jerking around about it, and I'll never forget, I ran into him somewhere, and he was like, oh yeah, yeah. He goes, we'll figure it out. And I just go, we are not figuring it out.
We're done figuring it out.
I said, you can pick a place.
Well,
pick like I literally, because I was just done.
Yeah.
I was like, you can pick a place, day, time. I go, and you let me know if that works for you, and I'll let you know if I'm free. And I kind of was mad. But get this. 2 years later, we dated.
You did?
Wild. I never saw it coming.
That makes sense to me.
Never saw it coming.
Because it's a reset.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
hard reset.
It's a hard reset. And it's also, you're letting them know, like, hey, I gave you the wood and the hammer and the nails.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was like, it's very
easy,
man.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you either do, I mean, I think retribution is key to dating.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone deserves retribution.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves, and also, first date, just like you said, do I want to leave the couch? Am I still thinking of an ex? Am I still like, you know, am I fucked up on like, I drank all weekend and I just don't feel good about myself? Like, there's a lot of reasons that are totally valid excuses for being flaky.
No, 100%.
And going, it just ain't my day.
Well, yeah, because I'd rather have you not go on the date.
Yes.
If you're going wrapped in whatever these other things are.
Than a date you half want to be on. It's just,
yeah, no.
It's all hard. And it's I see it in my own life now, especially like dating now. I'm like, there are dates where I'm like, this is a good person, nice person. I don't know. I just don't want to leave the house. You know, like,
yeah.
I've been at a bar. I was at a bar. This is ridiculous. I was at a bar having a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like on my phone by myself, just having a relaxing time. These three women, and the bar's closing. These three women walk in. Cute, fun. They're a little drunk, but like, I'm a little drunk too.
Yeah.
They walk in, they're like, can we get one more drink? Are you guys still serving? They're like, no, we're closed. And then one of the girls looks at me and goes, how did you get a drink? Can you get us, give me this? And we start joking around and we're talking. And she goes, where are you from? I'm like, you know, and we start talking. And she goes, take my number. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
She's cute, fun, mm-hmm. drinking with her friends, got friends, whatever. And I go, yeah. And then she goes, or we can just go across the street and get a drink now. And I go, yeah, I'm like really relaxed here. Like, I'm
this
gonna
is the, fend
yeah,
for
this
me.
Is, I'm having this my wine. I don't think I'd be a great, I'm not ready to do like the facial thing for the night. And then, you know, but it is interesting because I'm like, the day could have just happened.
Right here.
We're right here.
Out.
We're out. I'm drinking. Yeah, there's a bar across the street that's ready. And I go, yeah, I'm just, I'm cool with my phone.
But do you ever have that, oof, I've had this where I go, I just don't want to listen.
That's the thing.
Right now.
Active listening.
Anyone.
Active listening. We do podcasts. Every date is a podcast. Yeah. Every date is, yeah, really, cool, family, friends, where do you go, what do you do, what do you, and you
afraid
go.
Afraid of dead air.
Yeah, yeah. And you just go, and not to say that you're like, I don't think that's a bad day, but that's how every day has to start until you can like kind of ease into the, you know, at 30,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to take off, you got to land it,
mm-hmm.
and that takes a lot of jet fuel.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's, I even thought, I was in that exact moment, just active listening, I was like, I don't want to active listen.
No.
I want to go home after this glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And we still haven't gone out. We've texted. We may have missed our boat. That might have been it. Because then we try to get together again. And I was like, you know.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's interesting.
It also is, I feel like, an age thing with guys a lot of times. They always say like, oof, young age, you get some texts late at night, you're home.
Yeah.
And it's like the horniness of you at a younger age. It's just motivated to be like, I'm going to leave my apartment at 1 a.m. to go meet this person.
You know what I don't have the energy for anymore? At a younger age, I had the energy for fucking around.
Well, yeah.
Well, sure, be like, let's go to the bar. We mm-hmm. make out. Now I think like 6 dates ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I am thinking, mm-hmm. you know, do I want to hypothetically maybe have to end this one day?
Yeah.
And I do think of that at an older age. When I was younger, like, no, let's go out. Let's party. Let's have a fun time. We're having
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get enough situations where someone's like, I wish I had known earlier. And you're like, yeah, me too. you go, I wish I wasn't.
I'm like, for women, it's the, I definitely don't have the energy like I used to at 22 of the maybe seeing them.
Maybe.
So being dressed up, out. Even with friends, whatever, this lingering maybe of like waiting. Oh,
yeah, that is a young woman's thing. I might be meeting him later on after we're out.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. No, because I've been the guy on the other end of that where it's like, yeah, I'll be out in this area and let me know.
Yeah.
And it is a tactic.
Oh, it's we've all been in the scenario.
Yeah.
But it's just like, ooh, I think about the times like I was staying out way later than I wanted to.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Just sitting in a Starbucks.
Or at least
passing
just
time. Yeah, I would be out drinking. But
my friends would know because I'd be dressed up. And they'd be like, where are you going? And I'm like, well, and then you just feel stupid.
I'm waiting for a taxi that may never come.
For a maybe.
Yeah.
Essentially. All right. Let's get a little bit of this book here. Straight Talk, No Chaser.
Okay.
We got chapter 9.
I will say I've never read a Steve Harvey book, but everything I hear of Steve Harvey's advice, I agree with.
Listen.
There's never been, like, I don't know all of his.
They're making money.
I don't know all of his advice, but I know that the things I've heard, I go, Stevie's got a point.
Well, that's why I like having a guy on the show.
Yeah.
I have a book that's for women.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically, sometimes I'll read stuff and I'll go, it annoys me, but that's why it's like, I need you,
it's
producer
so
Mike over here,
crazy
to just look at me and go, no, he's right.
Yeah.
That's 1,000%
it's
right.
It's just from Steve Harvey, and you're like, how did this happen? Yeah.
Steve Harvey has lived.
No, but Steve Harvey was like, you know, act like a woman, think like a man. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in that, like, I'm saying in different ways. Like, most dating talk is just, are you making it more or less edible for people? And if it's done right.
Oh,
I think, like, when you get into the rules stuff, I kind of get into this like eye roll, like you're really trying to like, you know, find new, you're trying to get likes. Mm-hmm. And I don't really buy it.
I don't either. I never give hard rules.
Yeah. And it's like,
because every person that has rules, those dating people, I've listened to their podcasts and stuff, all of them have made exceptions to their own fucking rules.
Yeah. And they all seemingly are in relationships.
Yes.
You know, like,
I kind of bended this one for him, but, and I'm like, no, that's the rule. You get the hard rule.
Yeah, to me, a lot of it sounds passive aggressively, it's a little elitism.
It is.
Relationship elitism. They're it's like no one can act perfectly through this whole fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and, you know, I don't know. So when I hear the Steve Harvey stuff, I go, oh, yeah, this guy's like, he's preaching a lot of like, you know.
Nailed it.
Just in a different type of voice.
Oh, absolutely. So this chapter is called The N-Word, How to Get What You Want Without Nagging.
Mm.
All right, so he starts off saying here, where is it? As much as we love the cookie, as much as we need the cookie, there is one thing that, when we see it, makes us want to run the other way, no matter what flavor the cookie.
See, the cookie.
Nagging.
Like, that's a word.
It's a Steve Harvey word.
That ain't a Jared Freed word.
Yeah, I can't.
Trying to get that cookie.
That.
Yeah. Let's see if cookie. Yeah. You know, like, look at the board.
He says here, once you start nagging, we're simply not interested.
Mm.
All right. So it says, men, women, we are both people with particular needs, and we are prepared to fulfill the other's needs, but we have to be more diplomatic about getting what you want from men. So first one here, again, only something Steve Harvey can get away with. Adjust your tone.
Adjust your tone. I love the way he puts it down.
Just adjust your tone.
Okay.
Woman. your man is not your child. If you're talking to us in that stern, accusatory, I'm your mama tone, like we're little boys, then we're going to swear off like grown men. Mm-hmm. We have to stand up to that because you're questioning our principles. You're suggesting in that motherly tone that we're nasty creatures who don't care about clean houses, or that we're lazy, who sit around waiting for everyone else to do our stuff. Or, the most hurtful, we purposely hold out on helping you because we don't care about or respect you. Of course, none of these things could be further from the truth, but as a result of your tone, now we're really not going to give you what you need or want the second you need and want it. Mm. So would you agree with this? If someone's talking to you in this tone, it makes you like, I'll do it, but in 5 minutes.
Yeah, the tone matters. Mm. I think he's right. Tone matters. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what tone he's specifically saying. I know I don't think anyone, male, female, wants to be talked down to.
No.
I also don't think that being screamed at will ever get me to do something.
Absolutely not.
So that's a tone, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I want to hear the other parts because it's a three part thing.
I think it's five total.
Because I have one thing that I know how to. You should never nag someone. I think it's okay to be mad. Mm. I think a lot of this, telling someone what to do is a different way of being. I think being turned off is the most convincing thing to a guy.
I would agree for women too.
Yeah,
the ick, as some people call it. Yeah. But it's just when you get turned off from someone,
but relationship. Mm. You know, if you're in a relationship, because this sounds like it's relationship more.
Yeah,
advice,
this is more
than
in the
dating.
Relationship. Yeah.
Dating, I don't give a shit. We don't know each other. If you're turned off by me, get the hell out of it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But relationship, if you're dealing with a significant other and you go, it really turns me off when there's shit all over the toilet and it's always there. That has worked for me.
Oh, that has worked for you.
Yeah.
When they say to you, it turns me off.
I'm just totally turned off. I remember I was in a relationship and it was the farting fun part of the relationship where farting was funny. And
you're
finally just
farting in front of them.
And now we're farting in front of each other and it's getting a laugh. And I'm really going for it. I'm really farting. And I'm I'm doing shit every time I have to fart.
It's the male honeymoon phase. I can finally fart and she laughs.
And she's laughing. And I'm crushing it with this fart.
Yeah.
And I'm the joke gets old at a certain point, joke. So I'm doing shit where if I have to fart, I go, da na 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 na. I'm really dancing around and really having a fun time. And there was a point where it's it's not funny anymore. And I was what? I was surprised. Wait, this has been killing. And they're like, it's, I'm a little turned off.
Ooh.
And I'm me? The farts are sexy. That's my go-to. That's my closer.
That's our inside joke.
Yeah,
that's
I thought that was what we do. We're farts. We're farters. And she was just so, you could see it. It's gross. You're gross. I'm not even into this anymore. And it's all right, you got to get together. Now you got to the joke could come back. I'm not saying the farts are gone or were gone, but I'm saying that was more convincing than stop farting.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
And I think, the tone thing, I guess where I agree with him is you're in a negotiation with someone. Mm-hmm. You're not their parent. You have the right to leave the relationship anytime. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when someone's nagging you, it is like they're lying. It's the boy who cried wolf. It's enough already. I don't care. Mm. I mean, not to make this about my mom, but my mom, what did she say the other day?
Well, I was going to say what's interesting is for women, the number one complaint I hear is this whole thing of I'm not his mother.
Yeah, then
and
don't.
I don't want to be his mother. It's but you are.
But then don't.
The nagging is you being his
That's
mom.
That's why turned off kind of works more because it's not your mom.
Yeah.
When it's my mom the other day, I was
should be turned off.
Yeah, right? I went to a wedding the other night and my mom, yesterday I called her and she was like, how was the wedding? I was like, it was great. But I was so hungover yesterday. Mm-hmm. And my mom goes, you got to stop with the drinking. Mm-hmm. You got to go. You're drinking. You can't do this. You're getting older. And I'm going, and I go, all right, next topic. Yeah. I go, I literally literally said, I was like, next topic.
You're like, I'm paying for it right
I
now.
I go, I told you I was hungover because I regretted it. I wasn't being like proud of myself for a hangover. I'm telling you, I got hungover. Saying I had a hangover is a realization that I drank too much. It's an admittance. Mm-hmm. Let me go, yeah, that fucking sucks. Yeah. Nothing worse. And move on.
I said I'm hungover so you don't yell.
Yeah.
Now you're yelling.
Now you're yelling at me. About a hangover that's over. So it's like, but I would go back to anything with a significant other. It's like, you know, I don't need, I'm telling you, you know, this isn't, you're not going to teach me anything.
This is literally why people pay therapists. It's because they don't tell you what to do.
Yeah.
They're like, let them get to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm 37 years old. I either learn or I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and
truly.
So it's like with someone you're dating an adult. That's something you have to remember.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's the bright side of getting older is you are like, now I'm dating guys in 30s.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I very much am like, no, he's a grown ass man. He's either going to do this or not do
it's
it.
It's the good and bad of dating someone in their 30s is like, they are dug in.
Oh yeah.
They're like, that's what it is.
Oh, this came out last week. I was like, I don't think people change much.
No.
I don't. You got to really work on it to change a little.
People are cruise ships, not speedboats.
Yeah. 1,000%.
You can't turn on a dime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. All right, let me move on here. Number two, let your man get to what needs to be done in his own time. Sure, you might want it to be done right this second, but really, is the sun going to stop shining if he washes the dishes during halftime?
It's always halftime. Steve.
Is your heart going to stop beating because he left the mail out on the counter and made plans to file it after he got back from golf? I mean, golf.
Steve really goes to the... all the cliches. Yeah, halftime. Are you going to deal with this during? He's played around a golf.
He knows who
he's drinking
to.
A beer, a Budweiser.
But the fact of the matter is that most of us already know you want the dishes washed and the towel up off the floor and the mail filed, and we fully intend on getting to it, just not right now.
I just love that he's speaking for every. He's going to get to it.
We're going to get to it. He says, hold your horses, exercise a little patience. Leave the kitchen and stop looking in the sink.
I love Steve Harvey. He's right.
Stay out of the bathroom if that towel is driving you crazy. Don't worry about the mail. We'll eventually get to it.
There's some woman just sitting in the corner of her apartment being like, there's nowhere to sit. Yeah. Everything is out of control here. He won't do a thing.
Small apartments especially. But
I would say, I guess what Steve is trying to say is choose your battles.
I mean, that's literally the next point that comes up.
Is that the next one? So I don't agree with this one. The idea of like patience, like I don't think every guy wants to do the dishes or wants to get the mail or, you know, I don't really.
God, no.
I think also like, again, this goes back to like being turned off where it's like, yeah, I don't. It's not about sex. Again, when I talk about turned off, it's just like. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. Always, you know, disappointed always hurts more than mad, you know? So it's like, you know, I wouldn't even say anything about it, but then I'd be like, well, I'm not talking to you. I ask you about the towel all the time and there's a towel and, you know, I'm doing this again.
Funny though, he actually relates this to sex later in the chapter.
Okay.
He gives an example, him and his wife, of he's like, you know, we're supposed to be having like Saturday night, our time. He's like, and she's busy like tidying up, moving around.
Mm.
And she's annoyed. She's like, you always leave your stuff. And, you know, of course, Steve Harvey, he's got a housekeeper. He's doing well. And the housekeeper's not there on the weekend. Mm. So she's like, hey, it would really appreciate it if on the weekend, you just try to like keep your shit in the pile.
Sure.
Like don't have it scattered all over the room. And then basically that's what made him start doing stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, I go to have sex with my wife. And she's all in disarray.
Steve Harvey's dick has got to be sucked.
Oh, really?
That's right. That's why everything gets done in this house.
I feel like it's like a classic movie example of like women having sex.
Sure.
Like, and then the ironing. And the it's like, it's just so funny. The guys will always be like, can you focus? And it's like, can you put that away? Because I can't.
No one wants to live with someone they're mad at. Or that's angry with them, too.
No.
It can only last for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. But what would your advice be if someone like always has a wet towel on the floor and you're just like, hey, it's going to damage the floor if you don't pick it up.
I know.
That's a timely thing.
How do you make them care?
I don't know.
There's a sales technique there. Like I don't, you know, if I don't do something, it's because I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to get at is that it makes me mad that you don't care because I care.
Mm.
You know, like here's why I'm turned off. Not about the towel. It's. I know you don't give a shit about the towel.
Mm-hmm.
I can see you don't do it with the towel.
Yeah.
But you didn't even think of me when you stepped over it, like in this house, who you know does care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's like fashioning the language.
You know what's worked with my dad?
What's that?
My mom would tell him how much something cost. Like, he had no idea.
Yeah, what does he care about?
She was like, do you know how much the rug costs? Yeah. Do you have any idea? And he's like, what? And then she tells him, and he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, don't leave a wet towel on it.
It's $70 to clean this rug every time we have to clean it or whatever. Yeah, this is a Stanley steamer.
A lot of times the men are not picking the stuff at the house.
No.
And have no idea.
No idea.
So if all of a sudden you're like, yeah, you know what it cost last time to fix the toilet?
What does he care about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the dog had to be taken to the hospital today because he sniffed the towel that you left out? You just killed your own dog.
That's actually good. I don't have pets, but it is expensive.
But I'm saying, if they care about the dog.
Yeah, right.
What I'm saying is hold their cares hostage.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
That'd be something. All right, moving on. Number three, choose your battles. If you go from 0 to 60 on every little thing, your man is going to automatically tune you out every time he sees the attitude coming. And I can assure you, when a man tunes out, he has a hard time figuring out when something's not so big deal to you versus something that really is a big deal to you.
I'm with Steve on this one.
I see producer Mike also nodding. You want to chime in at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% true. Like, I'll even say to my girlfriend now, if I'm tuning her out because it's like 0 to 60, I'll just say, like, you've melted my brain. I have nothing for you. Like,
yeah.
You just have to say it at a certain point because there's no going back. Steve nailed it.
Steve nailed it. As usual, Steve nailed it. I think also, I mean, I have this with my mom. She does this every time something happens, she'll go, It's the most annoying sound in the world. And it could be someone's dead body in the middle of the living room,
yeah.
Or it could be a bug. It could be anywhere on that scale. Can you imagine? And so I went from like grabbing my heart mm-hmm. every time I heard to it doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
So it's the boy who cried wolf.
100%. It gives an example here of like if your man every Saturday goes to play basketball with his friends and
if he's playing ball
and,
with
and
the
and
boys.
And every Saturday you're like, again. You always leave. There's stuff that needs to be done around the house.
What I would say to that person is break up with me.
Yeah.
If this is such a big deal to you.
Yeah.
Time to end it.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't a big deal to me. I'm still cool with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, I would go, well, you haven't left yet.
Mm. Yeah. So
you should leave and then make me feel bad that I have to, like, miss out on you on the other things.
Yeah. I mean,
like, if it's not a problem, it's not a problem.
True.
Or it's just a problem you like talking about.
Yeah. Or, I mean, we talked about this last episode. A lot of times, like, say something about whatever really bothers you. Either say something then or let it go.
Mm.
A lot of times you, quote, let it go, and you just bring it up a month later.
Yeah, it's...
And that's when no one remembers.
It's just brutal.
Yeah.
You're like, and a lot of times, like, I mean the best. I think most people mean well.
Mm.
And no one's doing something to hurt someone, generally, in my belief. And that's a very positive way to look at the world.
Right.
But I do believe people are self-motivated, but also are self-motivated with the caveat of, I want to make sure I'm not hurting anyone around me while mm-hmm. I'm self-motivated, especially in a relationship.
Yeah.
People are self-motivated, but they're also caring a little bit more about the person that they're with, you know,
right.
to not hurt that person. You know, I can't remember where I was going with that.
people are self-motivated and you're not trying to hurt the other person when you're basically putting what you want to do ahead of them.
Yeah, and it's,
so
well,
you,
I no, what constantly happens is I'll get like, and you did this again. I'll be like, I didn't even know that's what was going on. Like,
yeah.
And you, again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You don't like basketball. I forgot. You know? Like, this wasn't because I wanted to get you with another again.
Right. But the flip is also true of if someone keeps making you make the same sacrifice all the time, then you're also resentful.
Oh, of course.
So it's basically being like, yeah, it's a compromise. And like, okay, he likes to play basketball every Saturday. There's occasionally going to be a Saturday you're like, hey, babe, I need help with some stuff, or if you got kids, like, can you watch the kids while I run XYZ errands, whatever?
Yeah.
And it's like, then I'm like, you have a right to be annoyed.
Well, also, it doesn't have to be that specific thing.
Right.
Like, if someone, like, you know, hey, my parents want to do dinner this Thursday. If they're like, fuck no, you go, why?
Yeah.
And you go... And they go, well, I just don't do dinner with parents. And you go, well, there's a lot of shit I don't do
mm-hmm.
that I'm, like, cool with. that I realize is something that's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not a scorekeeping as much as it's like, hey, do you make time for me in these times I'm asking for? Not, it's not the basketball. You know, yeah. It's not like the Saturday that they never hear on Saturday. I do comedy every weekend. That is my life. Yep. If someone's a part of my life, you're going to have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
The person I'm dating, I'm sure has things I'm going to have to deal with too. Do you deal with them or do you not?
Right, yeah.
I think that's a part of it, yeah.
But I'm saying the flip too is being like, when you find someone that really means something to you, you are willing to sacrifice a little bit of the things that you like. But you shouldn't sacrifice them all the time.
Sure, but
we've all seen those relationships where you're like, one person has fully given up everything.
Of course.
And the other person gets to do whatever they want.
And that's not even hot. Like,
it's sad.
But I'm saying, like, you're sacrificing something if you go to the family thing on the Thursday.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, exactly. I think, like, sometimes it becomes like, well, you got basketball, so I got... It's not that.
Yeah,
it's,
no.
Do you make the effort when I'm in a time of need?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like, you know, when you go to the basketball thing, it's like every time it's like, no, you've given into this was the deal since you got here.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Or it's like, I mean, dinner with your family, if you're closer to your family, not seen as like this chore thing of like, you have to come with me. I need company. But like, I've got a huge family and I've got sweet 16s I've been invited to. And I was dating someone at the time and I invited him to go. I'm like, I get a plus one. And he was all weird. And I was like, it's going to be fun. Like, we're going to be able to, like, get drunk and have a fun time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just at the Sweet 16 by myself.
Yeah, like, this is also the relationship.
There. Yeah.
This is what you do.
Exactly.
You know? Like, this is, like, what did you think of what we were doing?
Yeah. Oh, I straight up was like, so I get a plus one. You're who I'm dating.
Yeah.
But you don't want to go. I go, so would I bring another guy?
Yeah.
Like,
what's
I was
the
like,
deal?
You're the date. You're the automatic date.
What is this if it's not this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that literally made us break up because I just was like, all right, well, I thought I had a date to stuff.
No,
turns out I don't.
They're telling you exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, absolutely not. Mike, we okay on time? 44. Cool. All right. Well, just go this last two quick. Number four, understand what's a priority for men. There are some universal things that simply aren't a priority for most men. House cleaning. Keeping the refrigerator stocked with healthy stuff.
Healthy stuff.
Making the bed, attending PTA meetings, et cetera, et cetera. If we have a place to eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom, most of us don't necessarily care if the floors are clean enough for you to eat off of them.
I would agree with a little kernel of what he said, the caring. I don't know what they care. You know, I don't know what someone cares about, but... knowing what someone cares about and what they don't care about and understanding that's a part of why they don't see the thing as important, that's the thing. Like, some people are neat freaks, some people are not. Some, you know, men, neat women, whatever you are.
I have an uncle he's the OCD neat freak.
Yeah.
And he, like, constantly is like, put this away. And my aunt's like, oh, my God, I can have a minute.
Sure.
Like, so just, it depends on your personality.
It really is about knowing what your partner cares about. Getting mad at a partner who doesn't care about something about, you know, because they didn't care about it is like really annoying.
Oh yeah.
Like if I don't care that, I mean, to take it away from cleaning, like if I don't care about where we get dinner and you say you never care, it's like, okay, you're mad at me for being me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
100%. And then it says in this chapter, basically men are solution oriented people. Women are detail oriented. And men operate more in broad strokes. And it's not to spite you. It's just what it is.
Yes, I agree with this.
So he says, now if something is a priority to you, you need to let us know that or we won't treat it as such.
I'm with Steve. We men play video games. We finish the level. We like to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a woman has ever told me I feel sick, I go, what do you want me to do?
And
they hate that shit.
I've had guys do that.
Yeah.
They're like, I feel terrible. I'm like, do you want some soup?
Yeah.
Want some-
let's get this done.
Do you want to, are we just venting and complaining?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. This is very much in that phylum to me where you go, yeah, what do you need?
Yeah.
Water, juice, breakfast, sleep.
Yeah.
You tell me. And then they go, I don't know. Why are you going to, I don't want that. And you go, all right, so you just want to like fucking stamp your feet?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's annoying. I can understand why it's annoying from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, yeah, you're fucking sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, I've had that. And I think it's probably like a sports mentality that's in me.
Yeah,
it's like,
I think
what
that's
is
right.
The game plan?
Sure.
It's like, we have this. What do we do?
Yeah.
Make a you got to make decisions quick in sport. Like, it's ingrained in me. So I'm always just like, more solution. And obviously having female friends, I didn't realize that for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I recently had someone say that to me. They just were like, man, you're just solution oriented.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is probably why I have a bunch of anxious friends.
Yes.
They're always like, well, what about this? I'm like, I'm sure the hotel has a microwave.
Yeah.
like I'm always like, we'll find something. We'll figure it out.
It is very sports. Now, yeah. You're right. Because, you know, and it happens with like work complaints.
Oh, sometimes people so much.
Like, oh, I hate my job. I'm like, well, we can get the resume going. We got to, who are we reaching out to? How many calls have we made this week?
Yep.
And then they're like, well, no, that's not. And then Friday, job's great.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah.
This roller coaster.
No. Well, one thing it says here is basically like, if you told him all the things you cared about, you basically give him like a pick of the litter.
Mm.
Like, obviously, I don't expect you to make the bed every day. That's something I want to do, whatever. And kind of having it be like, what's something that can fit into something they'd care about more or like to do? An example my mom figured out, my dad likes to shop.
Mm.
So she was like, he wasn't ever going to clean shit around the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I could give him a grocery list. He would go to the grocery store and get the groceries.
There it is.
So like boom. She just was like, all right, that's one thing I don't have to do.
It is funny that like a lot of people would say, well, why do you got to train these guys? And they go, no, you're just figuring out. Like, I think that's like the fun of the simplicity of man.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your dad is like, groceries, cool.
Yeah.
and it's not personal. It's not, no. But you've now.
He loves Sam's Club.
Loves walking through the store.
He texts me still when he goes to Sam's.
Yeah.
If I'm coming home soon, he's like, you want tampons? What do you want?
He's just loves to shop. Itching to buy tampons.
Just itching for it.
But it is such a funny thing because it's like, you're not, I don't think you're tricking. You're just saying like, how do we make this go?
Oh, yeah.
And how do I make it so I am not constantly disappointed by someone?
Oh, for sure.
Like, so.
Well, it's like I have a lot of female friends who can't really cook.
Mm.
They know that. They admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're dating a guy that doesn't like their cooking, they're like, more than happy for you to cook. And a lot of times the guy will take that role then.
Yeah.
They'll be like, I'll happily clean dishes. You want to cook. And then everyone's happy.
Absolutely.
It's like, well,
why are we trying to
force
a square peg into a round hole?
Exactly. All right, last one it says, number 5, whatever you do, don't take over the tasks, especially with an attitude. I don't think we have to get to the details on this.
I hate that.
Of like they're angrily picking up the stuff?
Angrily doing it and then blaming you for them having to do it is like, ooh, that's so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just like, and then holding it against you for the rest of your life. You're just like, you know, and you're just like, okay, then don't do it. You know,
that's
like,
exactly what it says. It says, if you want it done when you want it done, then go ahead and knock it out yourself.
Yeah.
Now it's done. Problem fixed.
It's done. Over.
It says the smart man knows he'll pay for it later. But it's like, well, right now, I don't got to do it.
Well, it's not even about doing something. It's just like, this was a problem for you, not a me problem.
Yeah. It says, we win when we let you handle it.
Yeah. Good luck. Have fun.
I've been there too, where you're just like, I am resentfully doing this
thing. I'm doing this, and then I'm going to blame you because I did it the rest of don't do it. I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you.
Well, I've been in that spot with friends or my own parents, and I'm just like, well, it seems like you're going to be mad either way, so I'll let you be mad and sit on the couch. Like, you know?
I'll deal with this.
Mm.
I'm making a mathematical decision here.
But with this scenario, do you feel like you should just leave the thing?
What do you mean?
It's saying don't take over the tasks. And that says especially with an attitude.
I would leave it.
Yeah.
I go back to being turned off.
But this is something like dishes in the sink. Some people can just like wait it out much longer. I've had that just with roommates.
Well, it's not even a wait it out. It's just like, I'm going to leave. I think there's I'll go get a hotel room. I don't stay in an apartment with dirty dishes.
Well, this is why I'm very much like, I would love to date a man who has lived by himself for a minute. Because then it's like, if there was a roommate that was actually doing all the cleaning or this and that.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know. Because just the trash magically got taken out.
If you live with a parent, live with a roommate. Like, I've lived alone. I have things in the sink. My place isn't generally, like, it's not up to a code right now, but it's...
But you
livable.
Learn,
yeah.
Like, I mean, what things annoy
you? I
want
to live like Oscar the Grouch.
Right.
I'm fucked, you know?
Right. Or it's almost like, I mean, for me, I learn by just fucking stuff up.
Mm.
So it's like I left for vacation and I forgot to take out the trash before I left. I come back, I'm like, my apartment smells.
Yeah.
It's like, well, now I will never leave without emptying the trash.
Well, that's how you grow up. You know?
Like, exactly.
Some people don't grow up.
All right. I don't think I have time for anything else. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having
me. This has been awesome. Guys, obviously, if you're not following Jared, follow Jared now, at Jared Fried. You can also find his YouTube channel at /Jared Fried, or look at his Instagram, his website. He's got all everything. He's coming around. This comes out this week. Any big show dates coming up?
When's it come out? Columbus, Ohio. When does it come out?
This week. Or this week.
Like?
Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
I'll be in Denver this weekend. Columbus, Ohio next weekend. Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, hell yeah.
Newark. Yeah. Love a Newark show.
And UAPod is doing live shows.
UAPod's doing live shows. We bring people on stage. We give dating advice. It's all fun.
So make sure you check out Jared. Yeah. JaredFried.com. And you can follow us at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod. You can follow me at Sparica with two A's. And stay tuned for a Patreon preview coming up next. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for coming on, Jared. We'll see y'all next week. I said to myself before inviting her to sit at the table, I was like, well, if you were not dating the comedian, what would you do? And the answer is, that's exactly what I would do. I'd be like, oh, well, don't have somewhere to sit. Well, you're checking in with us. Maybe they'll throw you on our table, right? Because I don't have beef personally with this person. Upon entering the showroom, I'm leading the pack. As you walk down into the Village Underground, there's this table in the back where the comedians sit that are waiting up to go for the show or just watching. And I've sat and hung out at this table before with Jordan Fisher, friend of the pod. So I kind of know my lay of the land. I walk in, I immediately see Caitlin's boyfriend, Steven, also a friend of Ronan, because everybody fucking knows everybody, okay? I see him, we catch eyes, I give a little wave, I'm like, hey. And then I see the comedian is sitting next to him, but facing a different direction. So he doesn't see me, and I'm kind of like, whatever. We're getting shuffled, it's sardines, it's packed, it's sold out. Shuffling around. And I guess Steven must have, like, hit the comedian. Like, oh, Erica's here. The comedian gets up, walks across, like, all the comedians to come over, gives me a hug, kiss on the cheek, hello. He's like, hey, oh, I didn't know you were coming. Where are you sitting? And then I'm in his ear of like, with your ex. And he just goes, oh. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. That's patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. We have almost 100 extra episodes. Really get the behind the scenes of the show. Come join us for $5 a month.